We'll read the scripture and then we'll pray tonight. And need to remember Tim Bongard. As soon as we came to church tonight, there was a phone call from Val, and Tim has probably had an appendicitis attack and his appendix burst. So we need to pray for him. They're not really sure about that yet. We're still running some tests. So we'll read the scripture and then we'll pray for Tim, all right? So turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke 8:8. And other talking about seed, and other seed fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he, that is Jesus, had said these things, he cried. Notice the emphasis there. Not just he spoke, he said, but he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then on down to verse 18. "Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask your blessing upon it tonight. And Lord, we also ask your blessing upon Tim tonight. And Lord, we pray that the doctors would be able to make a correct diagnosis soon, and that, Lord, you would bring health and healing to Tim once again. Lord, you know the pain that he has had and the problems that he has had. We just ask, Lord, that you would step in and that you would intervene on his behalf, that soon there would be a testimony that come forth of how Tim is recovered and doing well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message tonight, Use It or Lose It. Use it or lose it. And we could apply that statement to a number of different things in the Christian life. But the focus of these verses that we read tonight have to do with the ability to hear God speak. And so we want to center our thoughts upon that. We use the ability to hear God speak, or we lose it. So may we all have the willingness and the ability and the usefulness to hear God speak. About a week and a half ago, I received, I think, one of the highest compliments I ever have received. It was from a son who said, "My mom thinks you're a good listener." To me, that is a very high compliment, to be considered a good listener. I had the opportunity of talking with somebody on Wednesday who was going through a difficult time, and Gail saw the same person later, and they told her how I was able to help her. But you know what? I really didn't say much. I gave her a couple Bible verses, tried to correct her thinking and assure her of thinking biblically, but mainly I just listened. And I don't say that to brag on myself at all. I'm just saying that because there are people that need somebody to give them an ear. They want to talk about their hurts and their pains and their sorrows and their difficulties, and they want somebody just to listen to them. And I know sometimes it's not always easy to listen. Sometimes you have to work at listening, and you have to take time. It takes a great amount of patience, but the rewards are worth it. And so I want to challenge you to be a good listener, be a biblical listener. Now, I've not always been able to do that, and I still don't always listen like I should. In fact, there have been times when I've been talking with people, I've been listening to people talk to me, and I've thought, I sure hope they don't ask me to repeat what they just said. Because my mind was somewhere else, and I was just having a difficult time concentrating or focusing on them. And sometimes that's the case. How many of you think you're good listeners? All right. Should we ask your spouse? Should we ask your mom and dad? He forced your hand up. I think Gail is a good listener, so no problem with that. They say that women tend to be better listeners than men. I don't know if that's true or if it's just a knock on men, but husbands are notorious for being poor listeners. We're all familiar with the scene of the husband reading the newspaper, sitting in his easy chair, maybe after coming home from work, and he's sitting there reading the newspaper, and here's the wife trying to tell her husband about the day. And he's just sitting there saying, yeah, sure, And finally she comes over and she rips the newspaper down and she says, "You're not listening to me." And what really makes things bad is if he is able to repeat what she has just been saying to him. But then she says, "You're still not listening." You don't have to raise your hand if that's ever happened to you, but it does happen from time to time. Two men were talking one day. One of them said, "My wife talks to herself a lot." His friend answered, "Mine does too, but she doesn't know it. She thinks I'm listening." Poor listening is not attributed just to men. All of us have to work at being a good listener. Patricia Goldman, the vice chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, tells a story about a stewardess who was frustrated by the passengers' inattentiveness during her speeches. How many of you have been on an airplane before? Okay, you know how you get there and you get comfortable in your seat and the stewardess comes on and she starts giving you instructions about the flight. Well, this stewardess became upset with people not being attentive to what she had to say. So she said, "When the mask drops down in front of you, place it over your navel and continue to breathe normally." Not a single passenger noticed. President Franklin D. Roosevelt got tired of smiling that big smile and saying all the usual things that he had to say at the White House receptions. So one evening he decided to find out whether anybody was paying attention to what he was saying. As each person came up to him with an extended hand, he flashed that big smile and said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." People would automatically respond with comments such as, "How lovely." Or, "Continue the great work that you are doing." Nobody listened. Nobody said one word to him except a foreign diplomat. And when the president said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning," the diplomat responded softly, "I'm sure she had it coming." People often do not really hear what is said. One more story. I heard about a lady who had a hearing problem. One day she and her husband were driving from Tennessee to Little Rock, Arkansas. They were pulled over by a state trooper who asked the husband if he knew how fast he was driving. The wife asked, "What did he say?" The husband replied, "He asked if I knew I was speeding." Looking at the driver's license, the trooper said, "I see you're not from around here." The husband said, "No, we're from Memphis." The wife again asked, "What did he say?" The husband said, "I said we are from Memphis." The state trooper then commented, "You know, the meanest woman I ever met was from Memphis." The wife asked again, "What did he say?" The husband replied, "He says he thinks he knows you." Jesus said, "He who has an ear, let him hear." It is possible to hear with our physical ears and not hear with the ears of our understanding. Now, we've all experienced this in many ways. Maybe not all of us. Okay. Clarification. But ears to hear are what we need to understand the spiritual truth necessary to live out our lives. Not everyone has ears to hear. Our ears can become clogged with the wax of worldliness, so that we are not able to hear what the Spirit is saying, what the Spirit is trying to communicate to us. So the first point of the message tonight is this: God desires to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. The first thing that we need to see is this principle of revelation. The purpose for which Jesus taught was not just to say a lot of words. The purpose for Jesus' teaching was to impart revelation. Revelation of who God is, and revelation about God's redemptive purposes. But God desires to speak to us as well. He desires to reveal His will to us and to be actively involved in leading us. This has always been the desire of God. God has always had the desire to communicate with His people. Right from the very beginning, God would come down and he would communicate. He would talk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. God spoke directly through some of those Old Testament prophets and patriarchs. It came to the time when Moses was leading the people. And you know that God wanted to speak directly to the people on the mountain? But they said, no, you speak to us through Moses. And Moses became the go-to guy, the in-between guy. But God desired to speak. And today, he's still speaking. And today, he desires to lead us by his Spirit, which entails hearing his voice. Hearing his voice as he speaks to us through his written word, but also in communion with, excuse me, in communion with him. The desire of God is to reveal his word to us. And this is often neglected, I think, by Christians because we do not understand the full meaning of how God speaks to us today. Because we have the written word, we assume that that's all we need. And that the principles of life can be and are contained in the Word. And if we're led by the Spirit, we can draw these principles out for ourselves. And there's a lot of truth in that, but I don't think we're taking it quite far enough. While we acknowledge the need for the Holy Spirit to interpret the Word, practically, to be honest, we rely upon human reasoning to do most of it. That's not what God had in mind, however. He intends for us to have a living dependency on us hearing him speak to us by his Spirit. And if we miss that, we are simply relying upon research and knowledge that we have gained in one way or the other. But we have not truly been led by the Spirit. We end up walking in what we think or what some scholar thinks, rather than what the Holy Spirit is trying to say is relevant for us, where we are at in our lives, in our ministries, in our families today. Now, when I'm speaking about this today, I'm not speaking of some kind of purely subjective revelation that has no basis in the revealed, inerrant Word of God. I'm saying we should stay away from the Jim Joneses and the Vernon Howells, which is the David Koresh's, because they took truth to a private interpretation. I'm not saying that. When I'm not saying that they're are new revelations to the Bible. Anything that God says is totally consistent with his word. And if he tells us something that is inconsistent with his word, then what we think was God telling us was not God. It was something else. If it violates the Bible, we conclude that it isn't God. He would never contradict his written word. In fact, the written word is our protection against being led into various heresies and false ideas. But what I am talking about tonight is a living relationship of communion with God, which enables us to hear a word now for our lives. He desires to lead us by his living presence and the wisdom of his Spirit. God wants to speak to us. God wants to speak to each of us. God wants to speak to you. Second point of the message tonight is we must be open to hear. Although God wants to speak to us, that is no guarantee that we will hear. Sometimes we are not receptive. Only those who are open to hear can hear. That is a truth that we must understand. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, it says, "Whosoever hath, to him shall be given." And the implication is the word more. Whoever has shall be given more. Only as we are open to God to hear and receive and act upon his word can we receive further revelation from him. You may have heard it this way. Only as we walk in the light can we gain new light. This is basically saying the same thing. Only as we hear will God speak to us so that we can hear more. It's a principle of kingdom living. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25 says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. The revelation of God's word is reserved for the children, for his sons and for his daughters. Those who come to Jesus open and trusting, ready to receive from him all that he wants to give. But those who think that they know, those who think that they have it all down pat, they've got all the answers, they know everything there is to know, they don't see and they don't hear. That was the Pharisees of that day. And they didn't see and they didn't hear. You know, I've often wondered, have you ever been in the room where you got two people who knew everything together? I mean, they knew everything about everything. But if they know everything about everything, why is it they always wind up an argument before they leave? No, none of us have complete knowledge. None of us have complete understanding. And when we can admit that, Lord, there are things that I don't know, but I'm willing to learn. My ears are open. Then God is able to reveal truth to us. But it takes humility of mind and heart to receive from God. And the measure of truth we receive will be the measure of truth that we walk in. For only as we walk in what we know do we get more knowledge. Only as we apply what we already know will God entrust us with more knowledge. This is what some people call the law of use. I like us to look at the entire context of this law. So hopefully you're still there in Luke chapter 8. Let's read from verse 16 on. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that should not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. This passage is talking about hearing the truth, but also what you do with the truth after you hear it. Jesus is saying that he has not come to hide the truth, but to reveal it. But there is a condition. It takes ears to hear in order to hear that truth. In other words, we must have a receptive spirit towards God. But even when we hear, we must do something with what we hear. Therefore, consider how careful you listen. How you listen and what you do with it will determine what you will receive. It's a law of use. You use it or you lose it. You use the knowledge that God gives you or you lose your ability to gain more knowledge. You use the light that God has given you or you lose the chance to receive new light. It's like, how many of you have ever went to sleep on your arm and you woke up and it was dead? And you tried to move your arm and you couldn't move it. You had to literally pick it up with your other hand and move it. Or how many of you have ever broken a bone and you put it in a cast? And you had that cast on for like 6 weeks. And after you take that cast off, what are your muscles like? They're weak, aren't they? You have a difficult time using those muscles again. If you were to tie your arm up for several months, and then you would untie it and try to use it, your arm would be worthless. If you did not use it in a period of time, your muscles will atrophy. In other words, you will not be able to use it no matter how much you try. You either use your muscle or you lose the ability to use it. In order for your muscle to grow and to be strong, it must be used. In order for your faith to grow and be strong, it must be what? Used. In order to keep from losing the light that you have, you must use it. You must walk in that light. Our efforts to walk with Jesus will be sidetracked and will be tripped up if we do not act properly on what we hear, if we do not obey God's word. God has built these principles into kingdom living. When we neglect to exercise ourselves spiritually, we lose that spiritual dimension in our lives. When we are hearers of the word only and not doers, we deceive ourselves and we lose the measure of truth that we think that we have. That's what the scripture is saying there. I like the way Luke puts it. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. That which he thought he had, even that will be taken from him. You see, it is only what he thinks he has that gets taken away, because he does not really possess it unless he practices it. Unless we are open and receptive to hear and do the word, we'll never hear it. God knows what truths you would hear and obey. And you know, it's possible, I believe, that God withholds some truth because he knows that if we hear the truth, we won't act on it anyway. It's not God, it's our own hearing that is at fault. But we will never be able to tap into the secret things of God unless we are really willing to do his will. Hearing is not so much a function of our physical senses, nor is it a function of our intellect. Rather, it is a function and a condition of our heart. If our heart is right, then God will reveal our truth, the truth there. Because these things are not so much intellectually understood anyway as they are spiritually and heartfully discerned. If our heart attitude is toward God, our will is surrendered to him, then he will make sure that we hear the word. Knowing this truth has a moral dimension to it. The truth, again, is not intellectually discerned. It is morally discerned. When our hearts are right with God, God will impart his truth. Proverbs chapter 2. Verses 6 through 8, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth out sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Again, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 reads, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is those whose hearts are right toward God that God will give his wisdom and his knowledge to. He has reserved his wisdom and his knowledge for certain people. Third part of the message tonight, point number 3. What is God saying to you? What is God trying to reveal to you? We see in this passage, this context, a number of important lessons for the believers. The first is that we should be careful how and what we hear. In Mark's gospel, we are told to be careful or to take heed of what we hear. In Luke, the same statement says to be careful how we hear. They are much the same, but if you take those two and you put them together, they imply that we are able to control what and how we hear. Hearing is a function of our attitude toward God. The words Jesus spoke with the same words many times to the disciples and to the scribes and the Pharisees. But what the disciples heard and what the scribes and the Pharisees heard was completely different things, because each heard based on their attitude toward who he was. Each heard based on their attitude toward God. And we do the same thing. That's why I'm amazed many times. I've done this. I've asked people what they heard in the message. And people hear different things. And it's because of their attitude. It's because of their relationship with God and what they are going through at that present time. That's a great thing, because that is a ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is able to take God's word, the bread of life, and break it and give to each of us to eat and give us the revelation that we need. Another lesson is that we do what we do with what we have determines what we get from the Lord. What we do with what we have determines what we get from the Lord. The law of use applies to us today as well as it did to those who heard Jesus' teaching. It's very simple, folks. If we want more of the Lord, then we have to give more of ourselves to him. There is no other way to receive than to give. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. As we give ourselves to the Lord will give himself to us. As we commit ourselves to hear and obey His word, He will give us more revelation. As we open our hearts to do His will, He will not only reveal that will to us, but He will give us the strength and the power to accomplish it. God desires to reveal the secrets of His kingdom to us. And as we are open and receptive, then He gives us the ears to hear. Number three, finally, it should also be apparent that we have an obligation to seek to hear what God is saying. We have an obligation to seek to hear what God is wanting to say to us. Since God desires to speak, we ought to desire to hear what He is saying. We must not be content to live life based on what we have learned in some academic study, even of the Bible. We must thrive and hunger for a living relationship with Him whereby we hear from heaven. Psalm 119 and verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In order to see clearly and be able to navigate the winding turns of this life, we must have an understanding of the relevancy of the Word of God and how it applies to our lives today. That must take priority in our lives. I believe the greatest challenge, the greatest need for the church today is to develop true disciples of Jesus Christ. Our challenge is not simply to make converts. It is not to ask people for a decision for Christ. Far too many people have made decisions that never translated into a changed life. We don't see our job as ending there with a decision. It really begins there. Making an initial commitment to Christ is the starting point for the Christian life. Then we begin a new life, living our lives, which centers around getting to know God and His Word better. You know, really, to be quite honest, to do that, for many people, their priorities have to change. We cannot continue to live like others in the world who do not pay any time to get to know God. But you know, there are many Christians who don't spend any significant time either trying to get to know God. Find out just exactly who He is and if He has anything to say to them. They think that attending a Sunday church service is enough. It isn't. May we build our lives. May our lives be centered around the goal of knowing Christ. I believe that was at the heart of Paul, that I may know Him, that I may know Christ. We have to take time to study God's Word in a sacrificial way. We have to take the time to get involved in service for Him, to be involved in the work that He is doing. A disciple is what we need to be. One who really listens to what God is saying and changes their life to conform to the call of God. So what is God saying to you tonight? What is God saying to you? Are you carefully listening? Are you willing to say yes to Him and follow through on that commitment? See, that's where the issue becomes the issue. That's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Jesus is speaking to many. Jesus is speaking to you. Let those who have ears to hear respond to His call. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening. Quite honestly, tonight, if God has spoken to you about a matter and you have not followed through, don't expect God to speak. Don't expect Him to speak until you are willing to obey what He tells you to do. But if you could just make that commitment tonight, this would be a great place. If you could just make the commitment that, Lord, what You say, I will hear and I will act upon. Now, that's difficult. That takes faith because we don't know what God is going to say. But if you really want to share intimate times with God, you must be at that place in your life, willing not only to be a hearer, but a doer of the word. This man will be blessed. So how many of you tonight would be able to say, Lord, I want to have ears to hear. What you reveal to me, I will act upon. And I will walk in the light that you have given so that you can give me more light. And I will act upon the knowledge that you have already shared so that you can give me further knowledge. The cry of my heart is that I may know you and your word. If that's your prayer tonight, you'd like to make that commitment, could you raise your hand to the Lord? Up and then down. Amen. Amen. Lord, tonight you saw these hands, but more importantly, you know the matter of the heart. We could just simply raise our hands as a physical exercise. But Lord, I pray that everyone who raised their hand would mean it in their hearts tonight. Lord, we look forward to an exciting journey as we make it the goal of our life to know you. Lord, give us all ears that we might hear, that we might choose to hear that which you would say to us. And then, Lord, we would act upon that knowledge, that those truths that we hear in a right way. I pray, Lord, that you would give us more light as we walk in the light. I pray that you would give us more knowledge as we use the knowledge that you have given us. I pray, Lord, that you would expand our wisdom as we use the wisdom that you have given us already. I pray, Lord, tonight that we would be drawn closer to you because we are willing to draw closer to you, and that, Lord, you in turn would be closer to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss. Spent and worthless now, because joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your suffering, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're my best, you're my joy, my righteousness, you're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, you're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. And I love you, Lord. And I love you, Lord.
Let's do one more thing before we go and eat. If you raise your hand before, let's take a step toward our goal in letting the Lord know that we really want to hear. Let's just come forward and sing, "Open My Eyes." We'll make this a prayer as we gather around the altar tonight. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see. Open my ears, Lord. Help me to listen.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. What a...
That's amazing.
Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Open my ears, Lord, I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that I love him. Open our ears, Lord, and teach us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord.
We want to see Jesus. Praise praise the Lord. I think sometimes we see people hurting and we don't get involved because we just think, I don't know what to say to them. Don't ever be afraid to get involved with somebody if you see that they are hurting, because you don't have to say anything profound. Many times all you have to do is listen, and anybody can listen. So I would just encourage you, as the Lord brings people across your path and you see them, reach out to them. To be the hand of Christ extended. That's our purpose here on earth, that He could live His life in us and through us. He could use our feet as His feet. He could use our hands as His hands. He could use our mouths as His mouth. He'll tell you what to say. He'll help you do the right thing. I just want to encourage you tonight to don't be afraid to be involved, get involved with people. Lord, we are so thankful that You are able to get involved with Your creation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, we behold Your glory. Lord, we earnestly desire a greater knowledge of Your glory. And Lord, we desire to see You glorified through us. Lord, tonight we are just vessels. We are broken vessels, cracked and broken so that Your light could shine through. Lord, our desire tonight is to have eyes to see You, to have ears to hear what You say to us. But Lord, also to have eyes to see You in other people. For You said, inasmuch as You have done it unto the least of these, My brethren, Ye have done it unto Me. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be like You. Bless this food and our fellowship downstairs now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.